May I tell you another story? Nora, my friend, had what is commonly called a near-death experience. She was at death's door and had been pronounced clinically dead when she saw a great light. Now, one day, a man lost his little 10-year-old son, who was his only child. Well, this man believed his son was definitely obliterated and reduced to nothing. And he was so full of despair that he considered killing himself too. He had no faith in God, and nothing could console him. And he had terrible nightmares. In imagination, he saw his son very unhappy, in some terrible place of suffering, goodness knows where, and all alone. So at the end, he started going to see mediums, fortune tellers, and necromancers, and all that kind of stuff. Then someone he knew told him about Nora's experience, and he decided to go and see her. And then they talked together for hours and hours. And a few days later, after having thought deeply about the whole thing, he called Nora and said, "Thanks to you, I know now that my little boy is happy, that he is with God in the light. So I am in the light too. Even if I'm suffering because of his death, I'm happy for him." And this man, you know what? He gave up the idea of killing himself. Those are the tangible fruits of hope. And this is what touches people. Now, what about us? If one day we have to cry out our pain, let us cry it towards God. Let's not be afraid of offending him by crying out our suffering to him. You know, the Bible is full with the cries of the prophets and the cries of the saints or others who sometimes have said to God, "That's it, I've had enough." And that is the language of today, a curse on the day I was born. You can find these passages for yourselves. And God has always listened and consoled. When the distress becomes truly too much to bear, never cry out into the abyss, into empty space. This would destroy us, it could kill us. No, cry out your distress towards God. Call him. Well, to conclude, in tribute to all those who have gone before us into the world to come, I'd like to read a fantastic text about the death of Moses taken from Devarim Rabbah. And you know how the Jewish commentators have a very special way of describing the familiarity between God and his creatures. When the time came for Moses to leave this world, God said to him, "Come, your time has arrived." And Moses replied to the everlasting God, "King of the world, after all I've been through, you are telling me your time has come? No, I don't want to die. I want to live and recount your deeds." "You can't," said the everlasting God, "for death is the fate of all mortals. I have decided that you will not cross over the Jordan." So Moses imposed a fast, drew a small circle and said, "I will not leave this place. Let this decree be brought to me." And he put on a sackcloth, covered himself with ashes, and stood before God with supplications and prayers. And his supplication and prayers made the heavens and earth tremble with all the orders of creation. What did God do? He cried out to each tribunal at each gate of heaven, "Do not accept Moses' prayer. Do not allow it to rise before me, because his judgment has been sealed." And he told his serving angels, "Go down, close all the gates of the heavens, because the voice of a prayer is echoing powerfully in the heavens." They tried to close the heavens, but they could not because of the voice of Moses' prayer, for that prayer was like a sword that cuts and tears, and nothing could stop it. And Moses said before God, "King of the world, you well know all the labor the children of Israel has cost me. If you do not let me enter the land of Israel, at least let me stay in this world so that I may live and not die. If I don't let you die to this world," replied God, "how will you live again in the other world?" Melech Haolam, king of the world, continued Moses, if you will not allow me to enter the land of Israel, let me be like a beast of the fields, eating grass and drinking water, living and enjoying this world. God replied, that's enough, say no more. Then God said to Gabriel, Gabriel, go fetch me the soul of Moses. Melech Haolam, king of the world, replied the angel, Moses is worth more than 60 myriads. How can I see him die? So God said to Michael, go fetch me the soul of Moses. Melech Haolam, king of the world, replied the angel, I was his master and he was my disciple. How could I see him die? Then a bat call, which is a celestial voice, rang out and said, the end of your life has come, but do not fear, Moses. I will be with you myself, and I will celebrate your funeral. And Moses arose and sanctified himself like the seraphim, and the Holy Blessed One came down from the heights of heaven to receive the soul of Moses, and the three serving angels, Michael, Gabriel, and Sachzaugel, were with him. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy Blessed One, said, close your eyes, place your hands on your chest and your feet on one another. Then he called the soul from the body and said, my daughter, I had given you 120 years to dwell in the body of Moses. Now come and don't delay. His end has come. Melech Haolam, king of the world, said the soul, I know that you are the God of all spirits and that the souls of all the living and all the dead are in your hands. You created me, you formed me and placed me for 120 years in the body of Moses. But is there a body more pure than his in the whole world? I do not want to come out. come out, said God. Do not delay. I will take you to the highest heaven to dwell beneath the throne of my splendor among the cherubim, the seraphim, and all the celestial armies. Melech Haolam, king of the world, she replied, I beg you to leave me. Leave me in the body of Moses. Then God kissed the mouth of Moses, and in this kiss of his mouth, he took back his soul. Isn't this wonderful? Now I have a question. Will not God, who is madly in love with each one of our souls, however defiled and polluted it may be, will not this God come and fetch each one of our souls with a kiss of his mouth?